So before I roll the episode, I should tell everyone that I intended to air an interview with both my brother-in-law, Adam, and his wife, Rachel. But sadly, technology and or my human error got in the way, and that didn't happen. So this past Saturday, the three of us sat down to a really good conversation, and we recorded for well over 2 hours. And then somehow, when I was editing the file, 75% of the audio just vanished. And I was only able to recover the first 35 minutes or so, which is mostly Adam. So just wanted to let everybody know that this is kind of an incomplete episode, but there's still a lot of value in here. So here we go. It's episode number 2. It's called AmeriCorps the Beautiful. So, does work define us, or is it just a source of income? Do our jobs leave us broken and empty, or do they actually fill a void? Do we even have realistic expectations about our careers, or are we setting ourselves up for failure? Are we born dreamers who just can't stop dreaming, or have we blindly accepted our fate? Let's be honest, at some point, we've all asked these questions. Maybe last week, or last year, or maybe right now. You're not alone. My name is Rocco Lungarello. I am a professional writer who has been plagued with these questions from the inception of my career. And though I've been on a personal exploration to find answers, I think it's time to shut off my brain, strike up some meaningful conversations, and find out once and for all that the answers to these questions have always lied within those that surround us. Our co-workers, our brothers, our friends, our wives. This is Where I Work, a podcast long overdue. So shut off your television and open your ears.
I went to school at OSU for business. I specialized in real estate. And when I graduated, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I was still working a job on campus and found this ad on Craigslist for AmeriCorps and looked into it a little bit and found out it was kind of like a domestic Peace Corps program, which I had considered while I was in school. And it was in the field of affordable housing, which I surprisingly didn't learn anything about when I was going to school for real estate. And I thought it was only a 1-year commitment, and I was supposed to be working with other kids just out of school, my age, that would be have the same interests.
This was after, or were you, it was like an internship, or was it after, right after graduation?
It was, I graduated in June, and this was in October that I found out.
Oh,
I worked a job on campus through the summer.
You traveled Europe.
Yeah, took a month off to backpack.
Did I know you then?
Yikes.
Yeah, you did.
I think I did. Because
yeah.
We
2010.
We met in 2007, maybe?
You
so you were still in college at that point.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, so yeah, I remember that. All right, anyhow. Hi, Jolofus. Charlie wants to get in on the... All right, sorry for interrupting. Go ahead.
No worries. And yeah, I took the AmeriCorps position, and it was like part community service. I wasn't getting paid much. There was a monthly stipend, so I moved back in with my parents. And there were 20 other AmeriCorps, and it was just a great group of like people to interact with and all trying to figure out what we're doing with our lives right after school.
Yeah.
And it was really cool to have that sort of community.
So the people that you work with, what kind of mentality or what kind of characters was common in them? You know, like they weren't like go-get-em business people, obviously, cutthroat.
Exactly. No.
Yeah, I was just saying exactly not that kind of person, the kind of people that are sort of like
servant
hearted, like, I don't know, they're serving like the poor basically in this AmeriCorps job. So it was cool. Like, the people in it are great people.
Yeah, it was all about service. They had like an intention, and most of them, was it right out of college type of kids?
Yeah, mostly. Some had moved back to Columbus. They're spouse was going to grad school, or there was one person, their spouse was going to seminary school. So a lot of people just took it up while like their significant other was going to school or moved to the area because they got a job, their girlfriend or boyfriend.
You live at a poverty income level when you're doing AmeriCorps, so it's definitely not for like the people that want to live a very comfortable life and spend a lot of money going, like, you just don't have the money unless you're getting it somewhere else.
So. And it's like a year commitment, right?
Mm-hmm. And you live like right at the poverty level, whatever area you're serving in throughout the U.S., so it could range drastically, but they want you to experience the same conditions that
Kidding.
Yeah.
So intention, that's not like a metaphor, like it literally poverty level.
Exactly.
Like, so
to live that lifestyle.
It's calculated so you can get food stamps. And,
oh, no kidding.
Yeah. So you have to go through the same things that it was awesome. I was living with my parents, so I wasn't struggling as much as most of the other people I was working with. So
it was in Columbus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And they let you hold off on your student loan since it's a government job. So we could defer those for a year and they would pay the interest. So there were a lot of cool benefits. And still, I did another AmeriCorps position a few years later, and I wasn't living with my parents at the time, so it was more difficult. And
you shared a house with other guys, though, right?
Yes.
Girls. And we were dating and got engaged that year. Yeah. But just the idea of, like, okay, you're a year of seriously dating someone when you're, like, that time when you go out to dinner.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like, it was cool. It was an adventure for both of us.
Did they allow you to have credit cards and stuff? Were they, you know, because you could just go to town on that.
True. That wasn't covered, or they didn't look into that at all.
They didn't look into that.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. I didn't realize that they did that. Mm-hmm. I like that idea that they want you to experience what it's like to live off of, you know, low income.
Right. And my second time around, I wasn't on my parents' health care anymore, so that was another big deal. They supplied us with health benefits, but through the health care reform, it didn't meet the requirements for mandatory coverage. And so I had to go through the process of applying for Medicaid, and quite an ordeal and a lot of paperwork. And it's hard to believe that someone without a college education would have to go through that.
Because so, like, the people that run it, like your boss and those people, they have more stable, they're not making poverty level income, right?
Right.
Okay. So it's more for the incomers.
Mm-hmm.
I think you should share about the job in between and then going back to AmeriCorps.
Yeah, so my first year was, the role was in marketing. Most of the other AmeriCorps were out in the communities, teaching after school programs and helping run food drives and work closer with the residents. I was back in the main office, though, doing marketing and fundraising and event planning. It was more indirect service, so there's some of us did indirect, some did direct service where you're interacting more with the community. Mine was indirect. And there were a few of us working in the office just to do administrative stuff that needed help with. And so I would make flyers, work on social media, update the website.
Yeah, I remember that. That's fun. And you went to school, you didn't have any kind of, your degree, I forget, what was real estate?
It was business administration, okay. Specialization in real estate. And so I had taken one or two marketing classes, had a rough idea of what was going on,
but yeah,
especially growing up in the age of social media when, like, my older coworkers didn't know what was going
on. Yeah, that's like right at the heart of when people started jumping on board.
Yeah.
I remember that. That's when, like, everyone was publishing books about it, and it was this huge thing.
Because
mm-hmm. I was doing marketing kind of around the same time that you were. So that takes us up to where?
So that was my first year, and then that department hired me on full time to do the same exact thing.
Just big boy job, big bucks then. Not right. The minimum.
Not AmeriCorps anymore. Like,
no.
A legit employee.
Right. And same coworkers. Most of the AmeriCorps moved on somewhere else. A few stayed to do a second year, get like a full-time position. But it was mostly, like, I lost touch with that crowd, and, like, more with the business-minded people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still a nonprofit, so everyone has that community mindset. And I did that for another year and a half or so. And
ended up living with one of his friends from AmeriCorps and, like, still kept in touch with, like, the people he spent that year with.
Yeah, definitely. The people that stayed in Columbus, we still hung out. And to this day, like they all came to my, or a lot of them came to the wedding. And
when did you guys, they're newlyweds, when did you guys get married? What day?
75 days ago. September 1st. Who's counting?
September 1st.
Labor Day. It was a Monday morning. Mm-hmm. You were there.
I remember.
Good.
It was great. It was so awesome. I remember when the ceremony was outside and it started pouring rain when Adam's parents were walking him down, and then it just seemed like the sun came out, and it was so weird that the way it happened. It was really awesome, the whole mm-hmm. thing with the choir singing. What was your introductory song? I forget right now.
Sunrise, Sunset from Fiddler on the Roof.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's a great song.
Yeah. And yeah, those are some awesome people that I'm glad that I had the chance to work with them. But the next year and a half working in marketing, we sort of touched each line of business that organization was involved with. So I got to see a lot of different areas, from rental communities to community development and building houses that were for sale and teaching after school programs. We offered free classes for credit counseling, home buying education, foreclosure prevention, and we had to market all of those different areas. So
still, it seems, still was like service based.
Yeah, but you know? Yeah, very disconnected, kind of just working in the office and not much experience like with the people that we were serving.
Okay.
Which was kind of like what my heart was calling for. And turns out we lost most of those AmeriCorps positions because it's only supposed to be temporary. But one of the new positions they created was in the community development side of things. And me being in marketing, we're in charge of posting the job availability. And so the manager of this new AmeriCorps position sent over the job description to me to post on the website. And I hesitated and didn't post it for a day or so, and talked to a few of the people I worked with, or one other person. And I'm like, this sounds awesome. Like, I want to apply for this.
What was the title of the job?
Something like community development and environmental awareness, like AmeriCorps Vista. And that sounded awesome. It was working in this one community. We'd be working with the Residents Association and trying to implement business development programs and encourage businesses to move back to this area that had been blighted for so many years, and trying to implement environmental programs. And so I emailed, before I posted it, I emailed the manager back and said, what would I have to do to like apply for this? And she said, you still have to post it just for like legality reasons. But I posted it and applied, and yeah.
It like hyperlinked to some like BS website.
Exactly.
And it's like $8 an hour. Come join. Like, you just totally sabotaged the whole thing.
Exactly. $8 is actually a lot. That'd be more than he was making. $4 an hour, maybe?
True.
Get out of here.
I'm not kidding.
For that job?
Mm-hmm.
So it was back to the poverty level.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. But it wasn't... It was through AmeriCorps?
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought that was only... like, you can only do it for a year.
You can. You can do up to 4 year-long
sessions. Like, right. Four. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. So that's so cool that didn't, you didn't, money was never even a factor. Like, you didn't, it didn't matter, right?
Right. Yeah. I was at that point planning on going back to grad school, and I knew I could always live with my parents again if I needed to, and I wasn't concerned. I just wanted the experience, and I was thinking about going back to grad school for urban planning, and this sounded like the perfect opportunity. I knew a lot of the people that worked in that department had gone through Ohio State's program for city and regional planning. And yeah, I knew that opportunity was just what I needed.
That's where you are. That's your last position though, right?
Right.
Okay.
And I feel like if you're going to go to school to learn something like that, you're investing money. And so this, like, at least you're breaking even, you're not paying, and you're learning experientially.
Yeah.
So it's kind of win-win, and just having that on his record to as he's applying to school, like, that's a great a year full of learning where there weren't people that did this job before him. There's another girl that got the position also, but it was untreaded territory where they had to just figure things out as they went, and they wrote a lot of grants and figured out who to give the money to, and got to really know the community and business owners, and you loved walking down the street and knowing everyone by name.
Yeah, it was awesome. And I ended up moving to the neighborhood I was working in pretty much as soon as I started the job, and got to know my neighbors and would walk to work occasionally. And yeah.
So what would like a typical day be for you? Just to get a better idea of what the sure. work was like.
And it turned out to be mostly economic development was what the role turned into. And so there was another girl. We both had the same title. And I think it turned it out, ended up to be economic development and sustainability associate is what our title was. And so typical day might be, like in the beginning, applying for a lot of grants because it was a brand new position. Our organization didn't have any money to spend. That's why this position is funded through the government, so they didn't actually have to pay any money. And so we didn't have anything. Like, we could do a lot of word-of-mouth stuff and try and print our own marketing materials, but if we wanted to make a big impact, we had to apply for grants. So that's what it was at the beginning, was mm-hmm. applying for grants. And we started out with some small ones, like a $500. We could do one big day of service and get a lot of volunteers, and we did a few makeovers of businesses, painting, taking down signs, painting over graffiti, just picking up trash in the area.
Community mural.
Yeah, interactive mural that one of the people I did AmeriCorps with the first round, she came back, she's an artist, and she designed this mural for us. And so that was within the first month. The other girl had started a month or two before me, so she had applied for a few grants and got some already. And then we finally ended up with a much larger grant, and it was going to be like a 2-year process, so we had to like develop a strategy on how to make that sustainable and make it last over those 2 years, and divided it up amongst supporting current businesses, attracting new businesses, and like doing a general marketing effort. And in the beginning, it was all about developing relationships too with the business owners, and there was some animosity about like people coming into their area and telling them what they needed, so they had to know that their voice is being heard and that it was
wow.
we were looking out for them and not trying to infringe on their territory.
For example, there's a taco truck across the street from his office, and there wasn't maybe any seating at the time, or maybe like a picnic table.
Yeah,
but during one of Adam's coordinated volunteer days, him and a million realtors.
How many? 100 realtors.
100 came, and he and his coworker had to like organize all the projects for them to do. So they had like the hands, and then he told them where they needed to buy supplies to contribute, and gave them all these different projects, and made like a nice little seating area for the taco truck that was already there. So it's like just helping out the environment of.
Great. So not really making any changes, just kind of like bringing what's already there and kind of highlighting it and improving it without affecting what is already there.
Exactly, yeah. And the hope, we were like trying to get a business.
Was it like a neighborhood that they kind of gave to you, that was assigned to you?
Yeah, it was maybe 1 or 2 square mile neighborhood. And like there was a partnering business association in the neighborhood just north of us, and we wanted to get one of those started in our neighborhood just to bring everyone together, because everyone was doing their own thing at the time. So we worked with the neighborhood above us.
So how does somebody like you exist? You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure people listening are like, are you interviewing Jesus Christ? Who just walked into the room? I mean, honestly, like, it's so rare to find someone who is looking to get a job or a career with the intention of service, and that is really all that they really are thinking about. And it's more about giving to the community and to the earth and the planet and everything else. So, like, what do you think made you go that route instead of any other direction that you could have gone? You went to Ohio State with a business degree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had a great loving family, a good upbringing. You know, you kind of had like a you know, plenty of opportunity. So, and I know Shannon is kind of similar, where she's a teacher. Shannon is Adam's sister, and it's the same, principally, it's the same kind of mentality, but I just wonder, like, what about maybe how you were raised or what you experienced? What made you decide this is the direction I'm going? Because it's so awesome, but uncommon.
Yeah. That's a great question.
Do you think you... Do you know, or... While you're thinking about it, maybe yeah. Rachel knows. Maybe you could kind of shed... What do you think it is about him that made him go that way?
I was just wondering the same. That's a great question. Right. I mean, I think that when you started out in AmeriCorps, maybe it wasn't your trajectory to be in service like that, but you had such a good experience, like, hands-on, working with other like-minded people, that it became something you wanted more to grow in. Mm-hmm. Like, do you think you were... If you didn't get the AmeriCorps job, what sort of dream job were you hoping for at the time you graduated college?
At the time, I was...
Yeah, right. That's what I was thinking, too.
I was interested in, as far as real estate goes, redevelopment, which is another thing we didn't talk much about, but growing up watching the... What you guys were just talking about, the shows you watch now, the Flip or Flop. And,
oh, yeah.
Like, I don't remember the names anymore, but there were hour-long shows on, like, redeveloping properties and, like, breathing new life back into them and turning a nice profit, and that appealed to me. And, like, taking buildings that had been neglected for, like, 100 years or so and just not letting that go to waste and be for nothing was my... And, like, doing that on a community-wide scale. Like I said, I had thought about going to school for city and regional planning, so I would have got a better experience, I think, with that. Mm-hmm. But...
You'd also thought about architecture at times.
Yeah, and just the idea of making cities, like, more livable. And I grew up in the suburbs, and once I went to OSU... Growing up in the suburbs, I always wanted to move away from Columbus, even though I didn't really know anything about Columbus. But once I went to OSU and got to experience these older neighborhoods and, I don't know, hear from speakers that were in that line of business.
So you kind of put yourself on this path, and it maybe, given your experiences at AmeriCorps and what you did there, that kind of made you realize what you thought would be the right trajectory for you. But you didn't necessarily come out of school and say, this is what I want to do.
Right.
But I think, like what Rachel said, it had to have been from that first experience.
For sure,
of
that
year of service.
And I feel like when you are exposed to, like, a lot of people may never have had the chance to listen to some speakers that he's been able to listen to, whether it was during his college career or just Columbus creative events. But I know you're really inspired by what's-his-name's, like, green space turning... making parks, like, in the middle of, like, abandoned areas. Talk a little bit about that, because that's something that's inspiring to you.
Yeah. There's an architect in Columbus, Michael Buongiorno.
Hey, Buongiorno!
Oh, right, yeah.
I'm back at the pizza.
I think I talked to him a few times.
Is that seriously his name?
It is, yeah.
That means good morning, you know that, right?
Yeah.
Buongiorno.
I think he might be from Sicily. I can't remember. But... He has spoken at a few events, and when I was working the full-time job in between my AmeriCorps years, at one point we moved offices because we got too big for our current office, and we started sharing space with Design Group, which is an architecture firm, and I had no idea who they were at the time, but they have, like, this amazing modern office. It's all open, and the people are super friendly, and every Friday they have, like, one of their partners of the architecture firm brings in breakfast for everyone, all the employees, and it was, like, an awesome experience.
For your unit, too?
Yeah, they ended up, like, a few of our employees at the nonprofit ended up, like, they would take turns rotating who brought in breakfast, so.
Bagels?
Yeah, we were actually responsible. I would pick up bagels every other month, maybe, and different food. But anyways, They do some awesome projects in the area. They work with the Metro Parks and like the Columbus Metropolitan Library and the Museum of Art, and do these really innovative projects that are like sustainable, LEED certified. And there's one guy there in particular who speaks a lot at different community events, and he was one awesome guy that I was able to like take a few things away from. And he was about highlighting abandoned areas. Maybe it's like a new bridge was built and like there's this huge concrete park kind of with benches on it that is not attractive at all, and he's about reinventing that space. And like, while it may have been an afterthought when they were building it, about making that like the center of attention. And yeah, between him and like following different architects just on blogs, and there's one blog in Columbus called Columbus Underground, and it's about like the latest things that are being created in the city.
I think one of the biggest drivers for people in like our society is to make more money, and you always want to make more. And so I don't think you ever really fell into that trap, because you knew it, you made it on a really low income.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's never was a driver for you.
Right. And you know? I feel like when I was graduating college, looking for entry-level jobs, like I was paying attention to the salary, but I think I probably applied to a few and didn't get those. And once the AmeriCorps job came up, yeah, that just thought it escaped my mind after that, and was never something that I wished for or even crossed my mind.
That's one of the very attractive things about Adam.
That's completely awesome, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's certain people that not having the income that they want holds them back from so much, like getting engaged. Like, just a lot of my friends, like, you can tell that their boyfriends are waiting until their business takes off or something to like go on with their life, and I feel like that pride can sometimes steal a lot of joy.
Mm-hmm. I would say I'm guilty of that. I was guilty of that because I was in grad school when I met Shannon and basically making peanuts for 2 years, and then I was a teacher for 3 years at a community college making very little money, and then I felt like I needed to get a career or corporate, and then that's what I've been doing for the last 3 years. But then I waited to get engaged when I felt like I was stable. And for me, stability was income. But that, you know, obviously that's not it. That's not enough. That's not, you know, sometimes I think I'm so anti-commercial, and I'm so beyond that, and I hate corporate America, but I think sometimes I'm totally a victim of the path I'm supposed to take. And college, job, house, dog, children, and it's really bizarre. But I never had an experience like you did, Adam, where you did a year of service and income was not really a factor at all. That was not any reason at all why you continue to do what you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like most people now, what would deter a lot of people from doing AmeriCorps? Like, if you went around and you gave talks to colleges to promote going in, don't you think that's the reason why most people wouldn't do it? Is because, how am I supposed to live off of that?
Oh, definitely.
Especially when you look at, like, people who are living off of college loans, going out to eat every day, going out for $10 drinks at bars, and, like, just having such a comfortable, luxurious lifestyle. Like, so many of my friends, it's like, yeah, you are definitely going to have to get a job that pays well, because you have to pay off this
debt. Like $100,000 sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which makes AmeriCorps not so appealing to some people.
Yeah. And even, like, so everyone serves a year term, and then you try as hard as you can to fill that position again in the future. And we had to fill our two positions when Beth, my coworker, She went on. She actually did another AmeriCorps year in Indiana. But even through that interview process, trying to find people that understood like what they would commit to, so many people didn't have an idea. Like once they found out how much money they were going to make, they like turned down the position. And
right.
It's so hard to find replacements.
But isn't it so obnoxious that somebody who's sitting in an office, you know, typing away on a keyboard, not really ever making any contact with anyone outside the company, doing marketing materials and whatnot, could be making like $80,000 easily and not having any kind of impact like you have in like a 4-hour day that you would do going into a community. So maybe it's, you know, it seems like we have it wrong, you know, like the way that we expect everyone to, we want people, we would want kids that live and grow up to become people who want to provide to the community, but then we're all pushing for careers and money, and what's the end result of that is more money. Mm-hmm. So it's really, it's screwy. I don't know how you're going to get, because I'm sure if I had that experience, it would have been life-changing for me. But I would have been like, how am I supposed to live off of that? And I just would have written it off and not have done it.
Yeah. And I was in the same sort of progression, high school, college, and like a small part of both of those experiences was community service. I was trying to think of like what was in the back of my mind. And I don't remember when I started like volunteering, but I remember National Honor Society in high school, that was required to do community service. And after that, I feel like it was always a constant in my life, whether it was Key Club, like random community service, cleanup events, working with the hospice in high school also.
Oh, so you were doing that in high school too?
Yeah. That,
a little bit.
That's like the earliest I can remember. And then in college, Students for Recycling, promoting environmental awareness and being involved in Mundo. It's like a cultural awareness group, and we would travel and do different community service projects.
What great ways to meet friends, to have community.
Yeah. So I never really had friends like in my classes at all at the business school. My network was always outside, either bowling club or like things that I like brought me more excitement than learning about business and finance and stuff like that. So I feel like, well, I hear a lot that like the people you hang out with, those are the hang out with people that you want to be like, kind of. And I would never hang out.
No, I got you.
Yeah, okay.
I don't want to be one of those dudes. No, that's great. So what, I wonder if you ever experience the type of things that I do, where you question what you're doing with your career and what it all means. I feel like because of what you're doing, that's almost a thought that you probably don't have very often. You probably feel fulfilled a lot.
Yeah. I would say that in the marketing role, it was a little like, I don't want to keep making flyers out. That was like the hardest, that was a hard decision to leave that role. My one coworker knew that I was thinking about it, and then I went and talked to one of the vice presidents of the organization, and because I was scared kind of to take that leap, and after making
take that leap down.
Yeah, like what would people think of me if I did that? That did cross my mind.
Demotion.
Like
the opposite of promotion.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's D very for, humble.
D for what?
D for demotion.
So that was hard, and I knew that my coworkers were like counting on me, that we were understaffed, and like if I left, they were gonna be hurting probably. Just because we had so few people to do so much.
That's such a scary place that I think a lot of people, they feel needed in their jobs, where it's like, even if their jobs aren't fulfilling, like, how is someone else going to fill this role without me? Like, I know I stayed at a job for a long time because I felt like nobody else can do this like I can. But leaving was the best thing for me.
Yeah.
And it has to be about you sometimes, not just an organization that doesn't actually care that much about you.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your... Where are you now, and what's your goal, let's say, for the next you know, short term, like 5 years, mm-hmm. career wise?
So I did the AmeriCorps VISTA position for another year, and that ended mid-August.
This past summer?
Yeah.
2 weeks before we got married.
Right. And Rachel knew that it was only going to be a year commitment, and so we decided that we would start our life together soon after that. And September 1st, we got married, and before I met Rachel, I was thinking about going to grad school, city and regional planning. And once we started talking, she asked me if I would consider putting that off for a year. And there were some things on her bucket list. And
I just thought we'd start a conversation, like just see if you'd have any interest in traveling for a year, and thinking it would be like an argument or an ongoing conversation. But it was pretty quick. He just said,
hell yeah, let's do it.
And again, I think that all that stems from that experience where you had early into starting AmeriCorps, because most people would, if you were my wife and you asked me that, my first reaction would be, how are we going to survive financially? What am I going to do for money? Mm-hmm. What's going to happen to my career? All that stuff. But for you, it's like, you know innately that that year that you're going to travel is going to provide so much for you as a person, that you probably thought that first. It's like, it's experience over anything else. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it has to be like, that's the path that you're on. Because most people, when I tell people about you guys and what you're doing, to people who are, you know, typical robots in an office like I am, their first reaction is like, oh my God, that's so awesome. I'm so jealous. I love that. I wish I did that. You know what I mean? Because we're all pretty much the same when you cut us and, you know, cut us down. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you're not letting the traditional barriers like dictate how you're going to live your life is like commendable, and it's uncommon. And a lot of the things that would keep most people from doing it are material, right? So that I would assume you're like, hell yeah, like you said, let's do it.
Yeah,
I think some people resent us and hate us because we are doing what a lot of people wish they would do, and I'm just jealous, you know, like I feel that way towards other people too, like as I've seen them do things. But yeah, like, we'll just get, like, questioned, well, how are you going to do this? How are you going to do that? We're like, we'll figure it out. Like, we don't need to know where we're going to stay.
It's almost like, well, I couldn't do it, so why can you? Mm-hmm. Right. But I bet these are younger people, right, that are saying
Yeah, all that. The older people are like, man, that's such a good idea.
The older people who know, because ultimately, it's 1 year. If I had taken 1 year of my life and done traveling, the experience gained out of that would far exceed, like, if I lost a job or, you know, blew $20,000 that I could have otherwise saved or whatever. You know, we've all had tough years, and it just seems like you're putting the energy into the right place. So I apologize for the abrupt ending here, but again, I'm happy that Adam's episode didn't go unheard. And also, I hope that the listeners got to know Rachel a little bit as well. I think you get a good idea of their dynamic. And so I've known Adam for a long time, but it wasn't until this conversation that I really got to see what a great man he has grown into. When I first met him, he was a teenager, you know, just trying to find his way. And now he's a role model and someone I'm really proud to call my brother. It was really inspiring to hear his experience with AmeriCorps and how it had such a profound effect on his life going forward. And, you know, I just wish more people could be like him. I wish I could be more like him also. Just, we can't forget the importance of service to the world. So thank you both for letting me record our conversation, and I hope you're enjoying your travels. I love you guys, and just be safe out there. And if you enjoyed the podcast, please spread the word. The website for the show is employedpoet.com, and all you have to do is click on where I work.
Also, the episodes are available for download on iTunes, and you could go do that. So thanks for listening. Take it easy.